Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
We're glad you've chosen to join us for another episode of 3GT. That's Three Guys Theologizing. And those three guys are my co-hosts, Scott Hunt and Kyle Borg, and this is Barry York. And today we wanted to talk about the subject of visiting the elderly. And as we were discussing this subject, my two cohorts here reminded me that I'm kind of the elderly guy on this podcast. And it's interesting.
We did so respectfully. I just want all our listeners. We treat Barry like a father, as the Apostle Paul tells us, as younger men, we should. So.
Well, I might have a little bone to pick with you guys, because the last time I was in Marion, Scott didn't show up, and we had synod out near where I live, and I invited Kyle over one night, and he said he had to go to bed. So I'm not so sure you guys are real good at visiting the elderly. Well, guys, I think this topic is, all kidding aside, an important one for us to consider as we live in a country with an aging population and people are more isolated than ever, it seems. And it does seem that the elderly can often be overlooked. Part of why I wanted to talk about this, it's personal. We have a neighbor across the street who maybe I've mentioned on this podcast. I know I wrote an article about him because he's taught me a lot about being a good neighbor. But he lost his wife about a year and a half ago, and he's gone through some ups and downs during that time. And just here recently, I went over to see how he was doing because he hasn't been feeling real well. And after sitting there a while, and when I came back home, I just, again, realized how important it is just to spend that time with him, because he doesn't really have very much family around. And so I wanted to just talk to you guys about this. In terms of your own experience, we all have different types of ministry that we do, and I'm not here to make anyone feel guilty. But in your own life experience, have you spend a lot of time around the elderly? It could be your own parents or grandparents or people in your congregation. Is that something that's a regular part of your life, or not something that you have that much exposure to at the current time?
If I called my parents elderly right now, I would be in so much trouble. So, So it's interesting. Growing up, I had very little to no interaction with elderly people. Even my grandparents, we were not close by any stretch of the imagination, may have seen them once a year, more out of duty than out of, I really want to see grandma and grandpa. And so since becoming a pastor, that has been one of the newest facets of my life. One of the things that really attracted me to the congregation here in Winchester, Kansas, is that we have people all across the spectrum. We've got young, we've got middle-aged, we've got elderly people. And so becoming a pastor of a congregation that has elderly people, and in another 10 years, we'll have even more elderly people, it has become a rather regular part of my, not only my pastoral life, but just learning how to interact with elderly people, encouraging my children to do that. So that would be my answer. Having grown up not in that atmosphere at all, it is now my atmosphere here in Winchester. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't say that I grew up around numerous elderly people visiting their house. So my parents did have friends who were older. I guess it would be my grandparents' age. We'd go spend some time with them. So I did get to be around elderly people. One of the first, as an adult, opportunities I had to be around the elderly, and I guess when I think of elderly, I don't necessarily think of old, but people who are old and can't do or can't get out. So, I think of Bill Scott, a a dear man. He was an interesting man from a congregation I used to attend. You know, going and visiting him at the nursing home when he didn't have any family around, that was kind of my introduction to going and purposely trying to interact with somebody who did not have and to practice that visitation. I was terrible at it. I didn't do it nearly enough, but it was an introduction to that concept.
It's interesting you mentioned Bill, because I have a picture of him in my study at home that was painted by a woman in our congregation at his funeral. So I know he taught Scott and I and a lot of others in our congregation some important lessons. One of the things that compelled me to get involved in visiting the elderly was actually my own mother. When I was a pastor in Indiana, my father had died, my mom remarried, and then she had a lot of mental issues, and her husband gave up on her, and so I had to take care of her, and she was in and out of different psychiatric units, living with us, living in other places, but eventually she ended up in a dementia ward, and it was really the congregation helping me. We began to visit her, and we began to decide to go over and do a Sunday afternoon little chapel services in the dementia ward. That was really an influential time in my life where I just saw how important it was to do this type of visitation with the elderly. Of course, Jesus emphasizes this, that we're to visit those in need, the poor, the lonely, the ill, and of course the elderly, particularly as Scott's pointing out, we're not talking about the, you know, the retired folks who have lots of money and are jutting around and taking cruises and things full of life, but those, we're really thinking more about those who are suffering from poor health or don't have family around, those type of people that we should be caring for. But in your own practices, what are some of the lessons that the Lord's taught you as you've gone and spent some time with the elderly?
I think one of the most important things that I've learned or reflected on, I love the 92nd Psalm, which is kind of a psalm for the elderly, where the psalmist says, you know, they who are planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. That's a psalm that has helped me a lot personally to appreciate the elderly in the church. You know, here is this wonderful promise that those who have grown up in the church, attended upon the means of grace, that even in their old age, they are still bearing fruit. You know, the tragedy of our society and our culture is that elderly people are not very useful and things like that. And yet scripture tells us far from that. They are bearing fruit in their old age. They're ever full of sap and green. The outward man is wasting away, but so often the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's always an encouragement to me. That's an encouragement that I try to bring forth before the eyes of elderly people to remind them, even in this season of life, by God's grace, oh, how fruitful you can be. You know, elderly people often struggle with, they're not as mobile as they used to be. They can't get out as often as they used to. And a lot of times there is this sense of hopelessness, there's this sense of loneliness, there's really kind of a depression that often sets in with older age. I'm not able to do what I used to be able to do. And that can make them feel in their own heart that they're so unserviceable to the church, that they're so unserviceable to other people. And yet, you know, here is this wonderful psalm for the aged. Even in this season of life, even in the twilight years, God would have you bearing all kinds of fruit. And it's going to look different. Just like when we look for fruit in children, we look for child-sized fruit. So when we come to fruit in elderly people, we look for elderly-sized fruit, so to speak. But that's one of that psalm has done a lot for me, trying to conform my mind, my attitude, my heart to what the scriptures say about these wonderful and blessed saints.
And just to go on with that just a moment, Kyle, what is some of the fruit that we should be seeking to encourage from the elderly, that they can bring forth?
I think, so let me just give you some examples of the fruit that I have seen that has ministered to me a great deal. Our elderly people, you know, one of the tremendous things about the grace of prayer is that even in our old age, we can continue to pray. We might not be able to show up to work days at the church. We might not even be able to make it to every church service because of the afflictions of the body. And I understand that with the deterioration of the mind, oftentimes prayer will get harder. But, you know, what a reminder to our older people that your prayers, they mean so much. And it's such an encouragement to me to hear elderly people saying, you know, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for your family. Because here are people whose lives have gone on for 8+ decades. They have 80 years of experiencing the faithfulness of God and God's answered prayers. And they often have more faith in their prayers than I have in my own because they've lived life. And so I think that is a tremendous fruit. I think there's an elderly man in our congregation. And one of the greatest encouragements I've ever had as a pastor, he was a ruling elder for years. His wife has died. And we were just talking about the church. And he just said, you know, Kyle, never forget that your role in the church is to preach the gospel. Bring the gospel to people. And I've told him before what a great encouragement that was to me to have him, 80+ years old, saying, preach the gospel. I think of the way, you know, it's phenomenal to me. I don't want to sound mystical by any means, but when you deal with elderly people where dementia or Alzheimer's is setting in, some of the fruit and some of the most beautiful fruit I have ever seen is when they can't even remember their spouse's name, but you turn Psalm 23 on and you sing with them and they still remember every word of the 23rd Psalm. I think that's a grace of God, that though the outward man and part of the inward man, the mental state is really deteriorating, still they are bringing forth the truth of God. And, you know, the Apostle Paul says, teach and admonish one another, singing psalms. And I've often thought of these elderly people singing these psalms, saying, once again, their entire lives bear witness to the truth that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And so those are some of the fruits that I've been very blessed by and I've seen in elderly people's lives.
I think that to go along with that, just the grace with which some of the elderly deal with their affliction. There's a man I have on my heart that has suffered greatly in this life physically, and yet the grace in which he bears that affliction and still praises the Lord. When you stop and look at his life in these circumstances, it can't be anything but you know, a blessing to your life and uplifting your life to see how good the Lord is, that the Lord can give grace even in difficult situations. So a lot of times I have found that my visiting with the elderly or ministering in those situations has actually been more of a blessing and a benefit to me than I could ever have been to those people I visited with.
I think too, can I add one more, Barry?
Certainly,
I'm thinking
Kyle.
About this. Okay. You know, I've never met an elderly person filled with the grace of Jesus who doesn't like children. Mm-hmm. And elderly people often teach us in the smallest ways what the simple joy and delight of children. You know, I remember when I first got here, there was an elderly woman who was dying of Alzheimer's, and yet when my family came in, she sat on the living room floor and just played with them, you know, and there was such a simple joy in that. And, you know, as a young parent, when you've got 5 little arrows who seem to be not laying straight in the quiver, but poking you in every way, shape, and form, and irritations can set in and frustrations and, you know, the chaos of life. You know, elderly people, the fruit that they bear is just, there's just, I've always, just a genuine love for children, which is such a blessing to me, such a blessing. And it's such a blessing to have those people in the church who love my children, to know that my children will grow up and they'll remember some of these names and they will remember, oh, you know, how so-and-so, they really love children. You know, they were such a sweet disposition or whatever. And so even there, I think you see these elderly sized fruits of just what a spiritual benefit they are to me, to the church, to others.
Mm-hmm. seems just as you men are sharing, and I think what Scott said a little bit ago is so true, and you're saying as well, Kyle, you do just feel more blessed after you've been there than what you feel like you've accomplished. I just always get so much encouragement. It seems like so often when people's lives are stripped down because of their frailties, that they're the godly ones, their minds are on other people, and they want to encourage the coming generation. And so they, to tell you that they're praying for you or to speak into your life in a positive way is just so helpful. I think there's just the love of God that comes out so often when you're with the elderly Christian. They express it seems more freely. And I think part of it is just life is, you just have to slow down the pace, as you're mentioning, Kyle. Our lives can be so busy with work and children and all the other responsibilities we have. And often when you're with the elderly, you have to just take time, and that helps you to slow down and realize the blessings of that time with those folks. Do you, does your congregations have ways that they encourage this? So in other words, do you have a visitation program, maybe as a pastor or elders or deacons in your church, or are there just certain people who take this on as a responsibility, or is it just in your circle more informal? How do you go about visiting those who are in need?
In our congregation, we're still a rather small congregation. It is more of an informal thing. That being said, you know, we do our best to encourage people to get out and to visit, to encourage one another. We don't have a whole lot of elderly in our congregation. And for any of them listening, I don't know that we have any elderly in our congregation. But it's more informal at this point in time, though I would love to see us develop into, you know, an opportunity or have and seek opportunities to reach out into the community, into the elderly community, and visit with them.
Yeah, ours would be more informal. So as a pastor, and you're heaping up coals on my head because I've been a bad pastor the last couple of weeks. Synod, it always makes me feel very disconnected from my congregation, and this week has not gone quite as smooth as I planned. And so I totally meant to get around to my elderly people. I haven't. So thank you for that, for this humble reminder. But, you know, ours is more informal. And I think, to be fair, you know, if a need is expressed, like sometimes an email will go out real quick, you know, so-and-so are feeling a little lonely right now. Could some of you guys make a point to stop by? And people really do that. You know, sometimes just the busyness of life and an ignorance of what's going on. But as soon as people in my congregation find out, you know, this person would like some company, I've been very encouraged to see the responses to that. I think one of the things, and these are some of my most special moments as a pastor, there's been four times that we've had the privilege of administering the Lord's Supper to our elderly who are unable to make it out for worship. And we always, of course, because we don't believe in private communion, we always tell the congregation, we're going to go observe the Lord's Supper at such and such a time, you know, after one of our Lord's Suppers, and anybody that wants to come is invited. And we regularly have 25 people cram into a small room to observe the Lord's Supper with these people as, you know, an affirmation. You really are, you are a vital part of the body, and we come to celebrate that with you and celebrate Jesus. And so, but it's more informal in my congregation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's really important to make sure that we're not forgetting the elderly or the ill that can't be there at the Lord's table. What would be some other advice you might give to our listeners if they're aware of the elderly in their congregation or their community and are concerned about that? If you go to visit, sometimes just going and visiting someone can be intimidating, especially if you don't know them very well. So what are some, when you go to visit, what are some goals you have in mind, some things you're going to make sure that you do during your time with the elderly?
I think Kyle hit on this in a beautiful way. If you have young children, nothing is more encouraging to the elderly that I have found than taking your young children there and letting your children interact with them. It is, children are a natural icebreaker. It will take that discomfort away most of the time, and it will make people be a little bit more vulnerable so that they'll share with you or share things. So I think taking your children there, it serves a dual blessing. It teaches them ministry, but it also is an encouragement to the people you're visiting. That's one of the things I would encourage, and we have always done as a family, is unless somebody absolutely cannot be around kids for physical reasons, we took our kids with us when we would visit and they were young.
I think one, an encouragement to members of the church, as intimidating as it might be, you know, a lot of elderly people no longer have the social life that they wish they had. And, you know, if there's just one person in the church who is continually visiting that elderly person, that person can easily begin to feel the burden of, I need to be this person's social life. And I think as a congregation and as a church, we all need to be attentive to this and realize we all have a role to play in this. It's not just elders. It's not just deacons that are commanded to visit shut-ins and to be mindful of those who are it is all of us, because we are one body. And so I would have an encouragement for people in the church to try to make that a priority, to be very conscientious and to think through that and how they might do it. But some of the things that I try to keep in mind, he's actually a member of my church, but I call him my pastor because he was a pastor for years. But John Tweed has taught me a tremendous amount of how to visit elderly people. And one of the things, when I was a fresh pastor here 6 years ago in Winchester, he would take me over to the nursing home and we would go make visits. And, you know, as I said, I had never had much interaction with elderly people. So what do you talk to them about? You know, what do you say? And one thing that I learned from him that I will never forget is his ability to try to help elderly people cultivate thankfulness for the very little things in life. So it's very hard when you're sitting in a nursing home. It's very hard when you don't have the social life and you can't get out and your family is not present as often as you want. It's very easy. One of the sins that I think elderly people struggle with is discontentment. And one of the things that he showed me is just, and I think he just did it instinctively. I don't think he would sit down and say, this was my strategy. But I just remember we would walk into a room and he would notice that so-and-so has a new walker. And he'd say, you know, I bet you're really thankful for that new walker, because I bet that helps you a lot. Or he would say, what was on the menu today at the hospital? What food did they bring you? Well, they brought me a burger. I bet you were really thankful for that burger, weren't you? Burgers are pretty good. You know, if there was sunshine coming through the window, even that, you know, I bet you're really thankful that the sun is shining today through you. I bet that's just really nice to be able to look out and see that. And I just thought, well, there's a wonderful way to help minister. Not in a convicting way of wagging your finger, oh, you're a discontent person, but just remind these people of the daily mercies of God, even expressed in the littlest of ways. So that has been a tremendous help to me. But I also think just going with the awareness that the elderly can often be lonely. They can often have depression and frustration. And elderly people that I've talked to have, surprisingly in my eyes sometimes, they struggle with assurance. You know, death is an ever-present reality to them. And I have found them asking the questions, you know, how do I know I'm saved? You know, I look back at my life and what a sinner I am. I see my shortcomings. I see my failings. And what an opportunity, you know, I have had some of the best conversations with our elderly people about the reality of death. Young people want to ignore it. Our elderly know that they're on the threshold. And what a time to minister the comforts and the assurances of the gospel to these aged saints who are just, you know, according to the world, they are nothing. But they are men and women of whom this world is not worthy.
Mm-hmm. Those are really, really good thoughts and ideas. I would also just encourage people to be prepared to listen. So often the elderly don't have people to talk to, and they want to tell stories. They want to remember the good old days, and that's okay. And sometimes you've heard, if you visit regularly, you might hear a story more than once. And one time I was reflecting on that, you know, why do the elderly always repeat their stories? And I started thinking, partly because we don't remember them very well. It helps us to remember things in a former generation. So anyway, it's important for us to go there with a spirit to listen. I think we want to, what's that?
I have heard the same story from one of our elderly people about Harry Truman coming to a Thanksgiving dinner before he was president. I've heard it about a dozen times, yeah. But it's a joy every time.
Yes. And it's easy to start, if you're not careful, to start sighing and rolling the eye when you hear that story coming up again. And I don't think that's honoring them. I think we need to listen, and we can also gently direct them toward, as you were mentioning about being thankful. I think that's important, by reading some scripture to them, just saying a short prayer with them while you're there, particularly as about the time to leave. I think also just having your eyes open to needs. There might be a lawn that needs to be mowed, or some cleaning that needs to be done, or an errand that they need taken to, that we should be ready and willing to do those type of practical things as well.
Even with that, because I think that's a really good point, Barry, even very small things. Is there a light bulb that's out? Yeah. And you know, don't you get up on the stepladder to change that, you know, right. Let me do that. I think being conscientious of that, keeping your eyes open when you're over at their house or whatever. So
right. Well, I saw when our congregation started visiting my mom, my mother, who had been entrapped for years in mental illness and depression. I don't know how the Lord did it all, because it was only what the Lord could do. But we started going and doing devotions there. And at first she wouldn't come, but pretty soon one of the women got her to join us. And before long, mom was not only just sitting there listening to the kids singing, she was standing with them singing and participating. And I saw my mom converted through that visitation in the dementia ward. And it just impressed upon me how important all of this is. And one of the blessings that we have at the seminary is the Reformed Presbyterian Church has a home for the elderly, and they sponsor a practicum where our students get to go and learn about visiting. And it's amazing to listen to these students, just the experiences they have. And part of it is at the RP home, there are retired ministers, and they teach the students how to do the visitation. They take them to the residence and sit there with them and show them how to visit with the elderly. And I just hear all these great reports of that ministry, more from the students saying again what a blessing it is for them. Well, any final thoughts, guys? We're nearing the end here.
Just a reminder, just the value of our elderly. They are so valuable to our body. You know, that's, again, when I came to Winchester, that was one of the things that impressed me the most, is there are older people here who I get to serve, but who have also so faithfully served the church for so many years. And they are a valuable, valuable part and have a valuable place in the body of Christ.
I think that the elderly have a perspective on history that we don't. And we can learn so much from them about who we are and where we are as a church, as, you know, people, by just listening to their stories. So, you know, the Lord would recount the history of Israel over and over again. And so it's important to the Lord for us to remember. And it's so good for us to hear, even, you know, a dozen times or more, about the history, about what the Lord has done generationally. So it is a great encouragement to us as congregants, as people who are visiting, to be reminded of the history of God's grace in the lives of these people.
And Jesus said that as we've done it to the least of these, so we have done it unto him. And I think we would all agree that there have been times where we've been with an elderly saint, and there is just a particular sweetness where you know that Jesus is so present right there at that time and that moment. And so if we're not participating in this, then we're really missing times with Christ that should, if nothing else, draw us to go and visit. I just really hope that anyone listening to this would really be thinking about their own congregation, again, about the people around them, and just making sure that those who are lonely are being visited by God's people in the church. Well, thank you guys for these thoughts. Thank you for tuning in to 3GT. We're grateful for all of those who listen to this podcast. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can go over to 3GT.xyz. And we are listener supported, and we do have ongoing financial needs. So if you'd be so inclined to help us out, we'd appreciate that. And Scott and Kyle, the next time I invite you over, boy, I sure hope you'll come and visit me.
Well, Barry, I look forward to coming and ministering to the elderly.
Yes. Thanks again for joining us on 3GT.